to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I am Laura.
And as we try to figure out what the heck this podcast will be in true nature of the name, we decided to not just jump into the sequel of The Hunger Games. We decided to pick a whole new book that we have not read before. So premise of the podcast, out the window.
Right. Plot twist, I forgot what this podcast was supposed to be about. Oops.
Yeah, Laura messaged me. She's like, are we going to pick a new book or are we just going to go straight into the sequel? And I was like, let's pick a new book. And so we chose Chaos and here we are. Do you want to tell them what our new pick is?
The theme, since this is going to be released in September, which in my mind is back to school. So the theme for this month is back to school and that's thrillers, horror, fantasy. We have picked a horror because September is spooky season, and we are reading The Eyes Are the Best Part.
We are. So last week when I was saying, oh, I finished a book, but I'll talk more about it later, it was that one. I had already started reading it, and Laura's like, let's read this. I'm like, perfect. I'm halfway through. This is amazing. So very excited to discuss.
I'm halfway through now.
What are you thinking? How are you feeling? Do you want to give like any just like high level, non-spoilery feelings? Like how would you describe it in three words right now to someone?
So I'm only 100 pages in, but three words. Four words. I hate the nightmares. That's the best I can do without. It's, oh, the.
And you're just scratching the surface too. There's so much more.
Right. I'm only 100 pages in and I'm already like, no, squicky. I don't like it. So I can only imagine where we're going here, but it's not good. And as someone who possesses blue eyes, I'm soups disturbed.
I did see, it was funny because I think I saw literally one person post about this on Instagram and they were like, oh my God, this is the best horror novel I've read this year, or the best horror debut, something like that. I had not read the synopsis. I only looked at the cover, that thing, and was like, done, I want to read this. And then when Aardvark came out with their selections, I was like, done. And it wasn't until the day it got delivered that I read the synopsis and was like, oh, okay, this is going to be good. Like, this is, it's really good. It's perfect.
And icky. And you know, I already had the thing with the eyeballs from when we read that Meg Gardner book. I can't remember what it's called now. The first one, it's a thriller, and they put light bulbs in the eyeball sockets.
Why am I forgetting this? Meg Gardner. Oh, wait, is that
I don't know, but it's like
the serial, like the unsub books?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that, but that does sound, like one of your icks.
It's one of my icks. And I think that's the first book in the series. I don't think I read any more of them, but I read that one. And I remember it being really good, but I vividly remember light bulbs in the eye sockets. And ever since then, I was just like, don't touch my eyes. So I knew going into this that I was going to find it icky. Because it's eyeballs, and I apparently have a problem with that. But it's the cover with the chopsticks holding the eyeball. Woo.
Oh, that, and then like the fact, I feel like this year, and I'm only using this term because I saw it on Youth Juice, like that's, they use it in the synopsis, but they called it a female coming of age story instead of coming of age. And to me, that's also what The Eyes Are the Best Part is. Like, I can't wait to talk to you about the ending because I just have this, the way it played out in my head, like, it's so specific with this other, like, it's just great. Like, I love the main character. Everything you wish would happen, like, happens.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it was honestly perfect. So if you haven't read it yet, I feel like it's all over the book community, or specifically the horror book community more so. There's a really good reason for it. Like, I need Monica Kim to write more right now. I just need more of her books.
I support a women's rights and wrongs, and I can't wait. I feel like there's going to be a lot of, like, good for her.
Yes.
Which is, which explains a lot about my personality.
Yes. Well, both of ours, because that's what, like, trying to be vague and not spoil it for you, like, It is a perfect addition to the Good For Her universe. And you're just like, okay, like, again, like, what you wish. Like, you know how in a lot of thrillers, and I get the thrillers aren't horror, but outside of one thriller, they never take that next step that you really wish they did. And when they do, and because it is so infrequent, it is just so satisfying. And this is just one of those times where it is very, very satisfying. Yeah.
I can already kind of tell, like, where it's going. And from the synopsis, it's basically, like, she becomes a serial killer because she doesn't like her mom's boyfriend, which dumbs it down a lot. Like, the book's upstairs, and I didn't reread the synopsis before we started here, so that's all I've got. But, so you know where this is going. So this is the second book I've read in a row where I'm rooting for a serial killer.
Oh, yeah. Wait, for a second, I was like, wait, what was the first one? No, it was I Was a Teenage Slasher by Stephen Graham Jones, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Last time, I feel like you said you had thoughts about this one and you were going to save it. So what are your thoughts?
Yes, my thoughts. Well, because, so I have a few books that I want to talk about in the vein of, like, back to school books or, like, dark academia books, which I just rolled it all into this episode because it's September and we're going back to college. So I Was a Teenage Slasher, like, doesn't quite fit, but they are high school students, even though it happens over the summer. So I don't care. I want to talk about it because it's a 5-star book, hands down, no questions. Like, I'm obsessed with I Was a Teenage Slasher. And how Stephen Graham Jones is able to, like, put so much heart into a character who's murdering people. And in, like, horribly violent, graphic ways. But you're still like, oh, I wish I could help him. I wish I could give him a hug and tell him it's going to be okay.
Or, like, be his friend.
Right.
I'm telling you, though, that how you feel right there is exactly how I feel about My Heart is a Chainsaw. Like, that for me, same. And I'm telling you, same. This, I'm telling you, My Heart is a Chainsaw is a book where I wish I could give myself years before when I didn't, because I didn't read a lot of horror for a while. Like, I read some YA horror, but didn't really read adult horror as much. It was kind of thrillers, whatever, because I liked horror movies more. And I was like, no horror movie is going to make me feel how I feel when I watch the movies. And then cut to My Heart is a Chainsaw, and I wanted to bawl at the end of it because it is so good and so sad. And it's just, I'm telling you, like, if you liked I Was a Teenage Slasher, you're going to like My Heart is a Chainsaw because it's the same slasher lore. It's the same heart. Like, you want to give Jay Daniels a hug for a different reason, but you also want to be her best friend because she's so cool. And just, like, she's the resident horror chick, which I think we can both relate to. Yeah. It's just...
It's so funny because, like, I made it halfway through My Heart is a Chainsaw. I tried it with eyes, reading, no, physical. Help me.
So first I tried My Heart is a Chainsaw with eyes, and that didn't work. So now we're going
to
try it with...
Yeah, I tried to read the ebook, and I was like, this isn't working. So I tried... with ears, the audio version, and I couldn't get into it. And it's so weird because the writing style is not that different from I Was a Teenage Slasher. And when I was reading My Heart is a Chainsaw, I was like, it's too choppy. Like, that's my issue with it. But I had absolutely no problem with I Was a Teenage Slasher, so I need to go back. I'm probably going to go back in October and try again.
Yes, because you have, that's my new tradition, because that the trilogy is finished, and I've reread the first two. I've read the first one multiple times. So I want to reread the third one, you know, but it's, yeah. Was this your first, like, first finished Stephen Graham Jones book that you read?
No. I read The Only Good Indians first. I read that when it first came out.
Oh, you did? Okay. Did you have an issue with the writing style then?
No.
That's so weird because the writing style is, like, exactly the same across all his books.
I know. I don't know what it is.
I would say, I guess also, too, kind of what it is. Like, you just... I would very much recommend audio. One, the narrator just does such a great job at bringing Jay Daniels to life, and then how her voice matures throughout the series is really cool as, like, you go on to the sequel. But I also just think, I kind of feel like Jade has ADHD. Like, that's how it kind of reads to me, like, because of how her mind bounces. So once you kind of come to terms with that, it's just smooth sailing, and you're just rolling around with her as she's trying to direct the final girl to be a final girl in her town slasher that is happening before her eyes, and only she knows.
And the thing is, like, when I started the book, I love the opening. Like, the tourists on the lake, you know, I won't go into much more detail than that right now, but, like, I loved that opening. I was like, I was hooked, and then I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. We're going to try again in the fall, though.
Good. Okay, but you have any thoughts on I Was a Teenage Slasher before you go into your other books that you want to talk about?
Oh, just, I mean, it's all the things. It's all the things. The audio, I can't recommend the audio enough. I think the narrator is Michael Crouch, and he embodies Tully Driver in a way that makes the story everything. And the way that the book is written, Tully, who becomes a teenage slasher, is basically writing his autobiography. So listening to the story, it's like being told that story and how it happened. And it's just, I can't recommend it enough. A million stars. Libro FM is the best.
Seriously, shout out, because I finished half of it on audio, the last chunk. That was...
Yeah, they provided that as one of their advanced listening copies this month? Last month? I don't know. June or July.
One of the two.
And I love them very much. I would sacrifice my soul to the altar of Libro FM, which is really funny because when you talk about them on Instagram, like you and I have talked about them in chats, it like makes it a link.
Every time.
Like they know we're talking about them.
Or they know what they're doing.
And
too.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how, because I don't think it works like that with anybody else, but it automatically pops up with the link like, go on and find our app.
And come on in. Like, go get it. Yeah. Seriously. They're amazing.
What about you? How did you feel about it?
I loved it. I knew I would love it. I mean, I'm a huge, huge Stephen Graham Jones stan, so I just went in knowing I would love it. And I just think I'm a huge slasher fan too, so it's really cool just to see how he takes the tropes that we all know from horror movies and, you know, input some but also changes them to be their own, because obviously, like, horror isn't an inclusive genre all the time in slasher movies. And by all the time, I mean hardly never. Let me correct myself there. So it is cool to see how he plays with those tropes and makes them more for everybody. And it is really fun. So I think it's great. Every time I read one of his books, I'm like, I need to read more. And my mission in life is to get all, like, he's written so many things. And from indie small horror publishers, so it's so hard to find more of his work, and my goal is just to collect it all. So I mean, it was amazing. I'm not the best person to ask because I am so biased. It was great.
But it is good, and it's like a fresh take on the slasher movie, and I think it on the classic slasher. Yes, exactly. I should say. And I think that, like, new readers for the horror genre would like this book, as long as they can handle a little gore, because it is mainly a novel about friendship, you know, like, and bad things and bad things that happen to you that you have no control over, you know, and how your friends help you through that. Like, it's a book about friendship. It's wild. It's so good.
I think it would be cool too to see if this ever got optioned for TV, because I think there is potential optioning news coming for My Heart Is a Chainsaw, or there was kind of teasing about that before one of the books came out. I don't remember, but that is always so iffy, you know?
Didn't he say something about it in the acknowledgments for I Was a Teenage Slasher? Or did I make that up?
I hope you made it up, because I listened to the acknowledgments. Did I miss that? I'm going to have to reread those, because also, if you don't read the acknowledgments to his books, you are missing out so much because they're so heartfelt. Like, those also make me want to cry, but especially not to keep going back to My Heart Is a Chainsaw, but there was a certain inspiration for that story, and he does talk about it in the acknowledgement. So highly, highly recommend that, because they're all so good. But yeah, no, I think it would be so cool just because of the dynamic, and I can't say more than that without spoiling it, but you're going to see where it goes. But there is just a certain dynamic that I would love to see on the screen, because it is very unique to a slasher, I think. Like, the way they kind of did it, it's just, it'll make you cry. And not because, like, people are dying, but because of the heart and the friendship and the relationship aspect of it.
I feel like that's what he does so well.
And he also just grosses you out the way he describes things. Like, certain, there is still one I will never forget. And it wasn't this book. It was The Babysitter Lives, which is very fun. But there's a point where something happens to somebody's head, and I don't remember if it got like bashed in or like fully open. I mean, it would actually have to, because he described the brain as like shrimp something, like the consistency of shrimp. And I was like,
oh, that's vomit. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. If I have to hear it, you do too. So he is just very, very like, he knows what he's doing for sure.
There was a scene in I Was a Teenage Slasher that involves vomit early on. And
oh, yes.
I had to pause it.
Really?
Because I was stuck in traffic and I was like, I'm going to puke. I'm gonna throw up. I'm gonna throw up in my car. I'm gonna have to open the lid of my Stanley and vomit into a Stanley if I don't turn this off.
And then you just lose a Stanley, which is the true travesty of the whole encounter. Okay, what books did you line up for us today? I'm very curious.
I made a little list, and then I brought some down with me. And then, I mean, I could go on. This is one of my favorite topics, is Dark Academia.
It's so good. It's just so perfect.
Back to school horror, back to school thrillers, whatever you want to call it. I have a bunch. We'll start with a thriller, because I don't think we've really talked about that at all. We've done some fantasy and whatnot. My first one is The Broken Girls by Simone St. James.
Yes.
Which is, it's more of like a, what are they calling them? Chillers? Like there's some supernatural mm-hmm. theme in there, but it's mainly a thriller. And it's about a possibly haunted boarding school that like closed in the 50s. It's been closed forever. And a journalist's older sister's body was found on the grounds like after it was closed, I think. And she starts digging into the past of the boarding school and also digging into what happened to her sister. And you get some flashbacks of the boarding school when it was actually open and then the present day timeline. And in true form, I don't remember a lot about it. I want to say it was a book of the month many, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I read it. But that was my first Simone St. James. And I've purchased, if not have read, every book she's put out since. So.
Mm-hmm. No, that one was also my first one. And again, I also couldn't tell you much. There's like one scene I remember very vaguely. And I think it's more toward the end. But I just remember that being the book. That's one of the books that you kind of chase the high of. Like, I have a few select books mm-hmm. where it's like, I want something like this, and that is one right. of them for me. And I don't get me wrong, her other books have been great. I've really liked her other ones, but nothing has compared since then to me to that kind of, again, I read it years ago, so just going off the very,
right,
like, small vapor of vibes I still have left from that book, which is not much, but I do remember liking it.
Right. Like, I remember nothing, but I loved it. And I know that I loved it because it was another one of those books where I just recommended it to everyone and anyone who would listen to me. And that was, like, well before I was on Bookstagram or even really reviewing books on Goodreads or anything at all. I was just using it to, like, track, you know? So I remember that vividly, recommending it to people, but I remember very little about the story other than I think someone plays field hockey. That's it.
See, at least what I remembered was someone's, like, remains being discovered. Like, other remains being discovered. I don't remember ice hockey at all. You said field hockey? What kind of
field hockey?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. Don't remember that at all.
I think somebody plays. That's it.
And that's all, folks. That's what we got for that. That's all you remember.
That's what I remember from the book. But it is a boarding school, and if you're in the mood for a back-to-school book, both Devin and I loved it, so it. Off you go. All right, so my next one is a fantasy, and it is Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo.
Okay, shut up right now. This book, this is another book, again, chasing the vibes of, and only Leigh Bardugo can give you these vibes. And
there is no match for this book the like dark academia fantasy. Atlas Six came close.
It did, yes.
The Ninth House, it's about a girl who attends Yale. Does she attend Yale?
Yes, she does attend
Yale.
Or
she's on scholarship or something. And the way that she does it is she's like an assistant for a secret society? Mm-hmm. Is that close?
Yeah, so she, like, the whole thing is, like, to avoid jail time for something else, one of the, I think he's a dean or something, some high-up guy with Yale, is like, hey, we'll help you beat these charges or just have them dropped if you come to Yale and work in Lethe, because you can see ghosts. And in the world, it's very, very rare to see ghosts, and they need someone to do that. And she's basically, what do they call her? Because what's his face is Dante. What was the other one?
Girl, please.
His, I was hoping I could remember. But yes, you're on. Keep going, keep going.
But yeah, it's the story. Secret Society is in Yale, first of all. You could drop that in a horror, a thriller, or a fantasy, and I'm 1,000% in. There's something about those, like, Ivy League schools. Correct. Or whatever, that I'm like, I just know sinister shit is happening there. I know it in my soul. And I think that comes from, there was a movie like The Skulls or something. Did you ever?
No, what's that?
It's a secret society in one of these colleges, and I can't even remember who is in it. But it's yeah, the secret society is up to no good. And I saw that movie when I was young, and ever since then I'm like, oh, absolutely, that's true.
You're like, facts.
And so
facts.
Right. And so Ninth House really does that. And like, Leigh Bardugo, she's possibly my favorite author. I mean, everything she does is pure magic. She's amazingly talented. Mm-hmm. My goth queen. Like, I just...
She's fantastic. This was actually the first Leigh Bardugo book I ever read, because I think it was... I want to say I had only maybe recently signed up for Book of the Month when this came out, or I was still at least pretty new to it, and it sounded amazing. And then, yeah. And then she just, you know, teased us and didn't release a sequel for 5 years.
I still
years,
haven't read.
We were all just left to
I
wonder.
I still haven't read Hellbent.
You haven't read Hellbent? No. Oh my God, no. Dude.
And I mean, I loved Ninth House. Like, it was one of those books that I sped through. Again, I think it came out, was it COVID-y when it came out?
It was before, I want to say 2017, 2018.
Oh, a long time.
Or maybe 2019, like between like 2017 and 2019, I think.
I just like, and I can remember going to pick it up. Like, I was so excited about this because I love Leigh Bardugo, but I have not read Hellbent. I think the cover gives me anxiety. I think the skinless rabbit. Sickly looking rabbit situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. but I haven't read it yet.
So good. What was kind of sad, and I get it, but I think because I saw her, she went on tour for Hellbent, and I was lucky enough to actually snag a ticket and go to her signing.
I remember that.
And she was, I think it was there or it was somewhere else, but she was talking about how because of how long it took her to come out with the sequel, that it was supposed to be a very long series. Like, it was supposed to be quite a few, and I think there's only one more, so it's only going to be a trilogy, but still, I mean, and they're adapting it. Hulu got the rights to it, so she's also working with Hulu, which makes me nervous after how Shadow and Bone played out, to be honest with you. So I'm very, very scared for Hulu to have this.
That first season of Shadow and Bone, though, was good.
Yeah, I had a little bit of problems with it towards the end. Actually, no, my biggest gripe with it was how they just have the Darkling say his name so early on. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying, because they were combining, like, all three series that kind of stem from Shadow and Bone. It seemed like they were like, all right, we're done with Alina now. Shove, shove, shove. And they wanted to go more into Six of Crows and King of Scars.
Which, what makes me so mad is that we're not going to get, unless... Because the fans are very dedicated and have done petitions and mailed crows to Netflix. Like, wild.
There was an immediate petition. It was wild.
Which, I mean, like, I don't know. I was so not a fan of the second season. However, I am sad because that was, like you said, going to be the launching point for Six of Crows and then King of Scars. Which, King of Scars is my favorite. I love it so much. Especially the sequel. Like, there's just one thing I want to see happen. And we don't get to see that probably now because of what happened. But, you know, we digress here. That's a whole other topic I could rant about for about 8 years.
I think I have faith in Hulu with a series like this, actually.
Really?
I think that they could do a good job. Like, they did a really good job. Did you watch Under the Bridge?
No. What is that based off of?
It's based off of a true crime that happened, but it's a book, mm-hmm. also based off the true crime. It's like a kind of a dark, gritty crime story about a girl who is murdered, and then an author who's writing a book about the town and instead starts writing a book about this girl and her murderer. But that was really good. The Bear is really good. You know, I have faith in some of what Hulu does. And so I think they could do a good job with Ninth House. Obviously, I basically want HBO to do all of it.
Correct. Like that. Or even Amazon. I heard Amazon does pretty decent with adaptations. So that I would be okay with. But Hulu, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical, so we'll see. But I'm also just never excited when something gets adapted that much, because you know it's never going to be the same. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Yeah, fingers crossed.
So if you want a dark academia fantasy with secret societies and some pretty interesting... There's one scene, like the main character has gone through some stuff. And there's there's one particular scene that I was just like, no, no.
Mm-hmm. There's one scene in Hellbent I can't wait for you to get to, because I don't even have to tell you what it is. You're going to know it when you read it.
Not again.
No, not like that. Not like that. There's just something. And everyone who read Hellbent probably knows what I'm referencing. So you need to go read it.
I'm gonna read it in September for my own back to school book.
There it is. You do that. And I had a friend we were talking about books, and she was reading The Familiar right now, which I still haven't read. So
I haven't read it either.
Maybe be jumping into that soon,
too. I pre-ordered it, and it was delivered it to me like a week after, because Barnes & Noble is not great at delivering as soon as it comes out. But it doesn't matter, because I'm not good at reading them as soon as they come out.
Same.
All right. Let's throw it back to a classic school horror with Carrie by Stephen King.
Okay.
There's no way that nobody at least doesn't know the background story of Carrie, because it's a movie. It was remade kind of recently. And it's one of Stephen King's most famous works. A girl who is not socially accepted in school.
Correct. Yeah.
Develops the power of telekinesis.
Mm-hmm. Which, jealous, I want that.
Samesies. And, you know, chaos ensues, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a classic horror.
Dare we say...
set in high school.
The pinnacle of Good for Her. I feel like that is, like, the poster child
for
the
Good for Her movement. I think it's chief Good for Her activities.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Because I, too... would crush my high school.
If you could have, yeah.
If I were Carrie, I would use my brain to destroy all of the prom decorations.
Well, why not? I mean, you have that bad of a time and you're treated like that at that point, just, you know, go for it. You got the power.
Yeah. And your mom is an absolute
nutcase.
Yeah, I wanted to use a curse word.
I know, I saw you struggling.
I wanted to real bad.
No, that one.
So she's the worst.
I haven't read this one. So here's the thing about me and Stephen King. I read Misery. And I know everyone loves Stephen King, so I am so sorry. I know other people probably like this book, but personally, I did not like it. And since then, I have been like, maybe Stephen King's not for me. Maybe I'll just watch the movies based on his books.
Okay.
But...
you're wrong.
I know. Wrong. And you've told me this. So I am going to give it another shot, I think.
But I get that.
Like, because you said the paranormal stuff is better. So I'm thinking Carrie or It or...
you have to devote some time for it. It remains one of my top favorite books of all time.
Really?
As long as you completely erase the ending from your mind and create a new one.
Okay. That is very ominous.
I will explain no further. Just know the ending is gross and very clearly cocaine fueled.
Okay.
So I ignore it, and in my mind, you know, something else happens.
I'm good with that.
It's icky. I will do that. The audio is good. 10 out of 10. I've re-listened to it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I've heard that's amazing. My dad listened to it, and I honestly think I downloaded it. I just have not committed. I go through a weird phase with audiobooks where I want to listen to one or a podcast or music. So I'm kind of battling that right now. So I'm not really making much progress in the audio realm right now.
I'm blasting through books at the speed of light, but that's because I'm in the car for 2.5 hours to 3 hours a day.
Yeah, dang. I would say I'm jealous, but I'm not. That sounds
absolutely
not the most fun.
No, I have. Okay, so I have not read this one, but I'm including it because I know we both will love it. And it is I Feed Her to the Beast and the Beast is Me.
Ooh, I haven't read it either.
First of all, for a podcast, no one can see this, but I'm holding it up for Davin. The cover is a girl floating in a river of blood, and behind the words is like a scary skull. And the synopsis of this book is that the main character, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Laure, it's L-A-U-R-E. She is a ballerina in Paris, and she goes down into the catacombs and finds a river of blood and like sells her soul to excel at ballet, at the ballet school she's at.
10 out of 10.
And obviously...
Honestly, same. Why not?
For sure. Blood, river, demon, God, have my soul. I want to be prima ballerina. Thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, horror center stage is basically... that's how I...
Janet, what I mean...
That's how I want to live my life. That's my dream, not my nightmare.
Yeah, like, honestly, I don't see the problem. And also, if you look at, like, movies like Suspiria, ballet schools are just prime territory for some really dark stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And you already know girls are horrible when they're teenagers. Like, the majority of them are just absolute nightmares. And so...
Garbage.
Add that into a boarding school, plus mm-hmm. You're pitted against each other daily. And then with this book, she's a black girl in the world of ballet. So I'm positive that that's going to take part in her struggle. Because like even in the synopsis, it's like, does she continue to break herself for a world that doesn't love her back? So it's like she's faced with so many obstacles. And she's like, whatevs, I'm going to sell my soul to this blood river god demon thing. I don't know what it is because I haven't read the book yet, but I'm so excited to read it. And I it takes place in a school, so I'm counting it. And that is by Jameson Shea.
I think she came out or they came out with a new book, or there's another book that is using that kind of cover style, because I keep seeing something that has a similar kind of cover.
That's entirely possible, because this is not... I've had this. I think I bought it December, maybe, but I don't know when it came out. But I'm very excited about it. I'm trying to look at when it was published now.
I think it was last year.
Yeah, 2023.
Yeah, no, I got an early copy on NetGalley, the audio version, and I was listening to it, but again, just not in the mood for an audiobook in general, so I didn't finish it, but... Yeah, I am very excited for it. We'll have to do a buddy read of that one.
Yeah. One I know that we both read and enjoyed, I think, unless I'm making that up, is The Mary Shelley Club by Goldie Meldowski.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this one.
Yeah. It's a group of teenagers who love horror form like a club. It's a book club, right? Or well, I think they watch movies too, but
yeah,
the way it starts... is like it's a book club, but they're also pranksters.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And they pull these like elaborate pranks on people and it spirals out of control.
Dun dun dun.
Bom bom bom.
That one was fun.
I remember it being fun. I don't remember it being one of my favorite things ever, but it's like a fun romp and like an interesting concept. I don't think I liked the ending. I think that's why.
I was going to say, I think it was the ending for me too, and I don't remember why, but there was just, it was good, right. it was good, and then something happened to where it was kind of like, meh, but the vibes up to that point were just immaculate.
The vibe is immaculate.
The vibe. Well, also, wouldn't you have loved, like, I don't know about you, but there was maybe one other person that I was friends with in high school, my best friend, who liked horror as much as I did, that wouldn't you love to have a horror club in high school? That would be amazing. Oh, yeah. You know, so like that alone is perfect.
Yeah, it's just, it was a really good time up until it wasn't But I still, like, it's worth it. It's worth a read because it was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So I did put The Brightlands by John Frahm on this list. Yes. It's high schoolers.
Yes, yes.
It's set in a small town in Texas, right?
Yes, it is.
And one of the high schoolers goes missing.
I think it's our main character's brother, isn't it?
I don't remember. I just know someone goes missing, and at first it's very, like, it feels like it's going to be a thriller, and then as the story builds, it is absolutely not a thriller. There's something dark and monstrous in this small town, Texas, and it's absolutely a horror novel, and I don't remember anything about it other than it's a 5-star read.
That was so good.
It was an excellent audiobook.
Oh, okay. I actually physically read it. I didn't do the audio for this one.
I remember doing the audio. And I remember at the time I was working from home. And so I was using the chance to, like, get out at lunch as much as I could because I was going crazy. And I, like, remember driving to the beach and just, like, walking around listening to this book and how horrifying it is.
It is. And I can't, again, in the vein of this podcast, can't tell you why it's so horrifying outside of, like, certain things. There's a lot of just, of course, social commentary that is done really well in this book.
Right.
That is also one of the reasons why it's so terrifying. But yeah, I just remember loving it, which is also why I'm so excited to read his new one. I can't wait.
Yeah. I remember nothing, obviously, from other than what I just described. But I did go back and reread my review of it. And it was like, go into this one blind. I could go into it blind again. So that's really exciting for me. Because I have no idea what happens.
Honestly, that is the best thing ever, is to reread a book you definitely read, but you don't remember anything because you just, it's like reading it for the first time again.
Yeah. All right. Another fun romp, again, horror. I don't know if you read this one, but it's Clown in a Cornfield by Adam Cesare or Caesar. I don't know how to say his name.
I did read that. I didn't read the sequel, though.
I read both. The sequel is not as good. And again, it's one of those books that's like, it's more fun than it is. Yes. So Clown in a Cornfield, obviously, is a slasher, and the murderer wears a clown costume and attacks the high schoolers.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's the perfect Halloween read. It's the perfect October book.
It is.
Just based on vibe.
Vibe alone. Vibe That's alone. All you right. need.
Like, the ending is far-fetched. Whatever. It's a teenage, it's a YA horror slasher.
Also, yeah, you have to suspend belief a little bit in any slasher, too, because there's always a risk of it not being, it's never who you thought, typically, and you maybe wanted to be someone else. Like, you just have to have fun. Like, you know, that's all it is.
We all can't be that Thanksgiving movie.
Oh my god.
It's the best slasher movie ever made. It's so good.
It is, like, pinnacle. I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know it was going to be that good. Like, I told everybody to go watch it. I am obsessed, and they're doing a sequel. So, yeah. Can't wait for that to come out, because
it's so good.
Wow.
It is so good. And I watched it relatively recently, but I remember messaging you and being like, good god.
Yes, sometimes I forget how brutal some slashers can be, and this one was just, this one held nothing back. It was the parade scene, that alone just,
freezer door, no, absolutely not.
Oh, yes, the freezer door part, my still favorite is with the mascot, that was my favorite scene.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's, oh boy. I'm going to have to watch that again.
Watch party.
Yeah, for my Thanksgiving entertainment. Because I usually watch, like, every episode of Friends followed by every Thanksgiving episodes of Bob's Burgers, and I'll just throw in this crazy murder movie.
Nice little palate cleanser in between the two. Funny, 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 terrible.
In the middle, yeah. Okay, so a thriller. I don't know if you have read this one, and I also don't know if I am pronouncing the author's name correctly, but it's The Maidens by Alex Michaelides? Michaelides. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
For a second, when you did this setup, I thought you were going to be like, I don't know if you read it, and I also don't know if I read it. I thought that was going to be your opening to it.
I know I read it. Here's the thing, though. So it's, again, I think they're at an Ivy League school.
Yes.
There's some secret societies sprinkled in there.
Called the Maidens. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it. I did read it. I do remember liking it. I'm also a sucker for Greek mythology. So
yes.
Automatically, I was just like, right. Game.
And Celadon did the world's greatest marketing campaign for that book.
Yes, they did. So they sent us that postcard.
Yes, they sent out postcards that's like, you're invited to join the maidens. So like inviting you to join the secret society. And also, I really love his writing. Mm-hmm. The Silent Patient is his first one, right?
It was, yes.
Yeah. So everyone liked that one. I liked The Maidens more simply because, again, I love the dark academia, secret society mystery thing. I love it. And I remember really enjoying this book. I don't even really remember the synopsis, and I didn't look it up because I don't prepare well for things.
I think like the main character's husband recently passed away and she is spirited away to the school where her niece or some relative, younger female, I think it's relative, niece. Okay, calls her because I think her friend died or someone on campus died.
Someone one of the two. Died.
So yeah. She calls her and she comes and she kind of just starts going through it. That's it. That's all I remember from that one.
Right. She's flirting with the professor.
Yes, the professor is very skeevy. He's the one that forms the maidens. And
right, he's very icky.
He's very icky. So there's some weird stuff going on.
He gives groomer, like he gives...
Big groomer vibes.
Gross man. Mm-hmm. He gives gross man vibes. But I really don't remember anything else. I just know that it fits the theme and I liked it and it would be a good September read.
It would be a good September read. Weed. Yeah, September weed. September weed.
The September weeds. All right. And I have another horror, which I know you read, and it's There's Someone Inside Your House by Stephanie Perkins.
I was wondering if you were going to bring this one up.
Yeah.
Okay, did you like it? Yeah. Did you not like it? I feel like this one is iffy.
It's very hit or miss. It's middle of the road, but I liked it.
I had fun.
Because it's a fun read. It's a group of high school students. There's someone, it's again a small town.
Yes.
The main character has kind of like a mysterious past. You know that she thinks she's done something wrong and that maybe she's running from it.
Yes.
But nobody else knows. So she's hiding secrets. And then somebody in town starts spilling secrets and also guts.
10 out of 10, Lee. I love that, Lita. You should write movie slogans. And someone is spilling secrets and guts. That's good.
Yeah. And this is another fun one because you can read the book, which is great. And then you can watch the movie, which is mid.
I didn't watch the movie for that reason. I was kind of excited for it. Then I heard some meh reviews, but I'll probably end up adding it to my little fall movie rotation for sure.
It's meh, but you know, it's an easy October watch. You know, it's an easy, if you're looking for a high school horror, it's easy. It's there. And it's decent. It's just, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Agreed.
But it's fun. That is the end of my list, but I've just remembered there is one more thriller boarding school book that I think we read when we were doing like a book club, or maybe I read it on my own, but it's Good Girls Lie by J.T. Ellison.
Yes, that one is fun. I love J.T. Ellis. She's amazing.
That is the only book that I've read by her, but I know that this one, it's another boarding school, right? Prep school, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically, if you go there, you're like guaranteed to go to an Ivy League college, and everyone is not great there. They're all awful.
No, they
all. And then someone dies, right?
They do. Yeah, someone dies and I don't think you know who it is or what happened yet, and that's kind of what you're trying to figure out.
Oh, rumors suggest she was struggling with the secret that drove her to suicide. But there are truths and there are lies, and then there's everything that really happened.
Bum, bum, bum.
And that's me reading from the Goodreads book description. And I remember enjoying this, but it obviously is set in a prep school, boarding school, whatever you want to call it, that caters to the super rich. And it is kids, obviously, so it does read YA. But I remember, again, it being, like, a good time.
Oh, my God. You know what I have? I have one.
You have one?
I do. And I can't believe I didn't think of this because I just found out. I don't know if you read this, but it came out in 2023. There's no way that came out then. They Never Learn by Lane Fargo. Did you read that?
I did not read it, and it is not from 2023. That's a dirty, rotten lie.
Thank you.
They might have republished it because I have had it on my shelf for an absolute eternity.
Yeah, okay. So I don't remember. I just remember, again, the ending, the vibes is very, it's impeccable, but it's dual timeline, and that's all I got for you. All I know is that it is set at a school.
But it's another good for her, right?
It is another good for her. Good for her, set in a school.
Right. And that's all I remember is basically the synopsis. Like, I think maybe she gets stabby, good for her, and it's dark academia because it's at a school. The cover is like an iron gate, and it's like a misty red behind it. It looks great, but I did not read it.
Oh, you have to. It's very good. She has a new book coming out soon, which I am very excited about. That one. And then, did you ever read My Dearest Darkest? By Kayla Summerfield.
That was the last book we did for our group read book club. And that was when I was living in Indiana and commuting to Chicago on the train. Mm. And I think I read half of it. And then I was just the worst.
Then you were the worst. That one was...
I never finished it.
I forget why. So that one, I was already intrigued in the writing. I remember that first paragraph being really good. And yeah. They compared it to, I saw someone compare it to one horror movie that I love, and I don't remember what that was now, but then it's more like Jennifer's Body to me a little bit in certain aspects, I think, with
female rage.
It was very
I'm in it.
Female rage, and I don't know, it was fun. It is a fun boarding school kind of ghosts and horror, and I don't know, again, it's a really good, just entertaining read.
But They Never Learn is an adult thriller.
It is, yes.
And My Dearest Darkest was YA, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Yeah. This fall, I'm reading They Never Learn.
Okay, you need to, because that was so top tier.
Yeah, it's good times. I want to talk about one more that is a misunderstanding of the assignment, and I don't care, because people to read it so we can all discuss something that I can't say right now because it's a spoiler. But I want everyone to read it so that we can talk about how weird this book gets. And it's You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight by Kaylin Bayron? Bayron?
Oh, that one. I have that one.
Look at the cover.
Yes, yes, yes. The cover is impeccable. And the premise, she's like an actor or summer camp counselor at a slasher.
Yes.
Experience yes. camp that you can go to.
Yes.
Like, come on.
It's like,
and I'm saying that as someone who hasn't read it yet,
right.
by the
way. Like, it's so. Like, you know how you can like buy tickets and go to like Hogwarts for the night in Poland or wherever that circles every once in a while? It's that for slashers. It's a summer camp, and she I believe she plays the final girl, and yes, people uh-huh. it's like a haunted house, only it's a slasher movie, and you show up and they go through the steps of the slasher, you know, like, oh, the lights aren't working, oh, blah blah blah, blah. And everyone is a paid actor, and then, you know, the counselors start going missing.
Which is so good because it also plays upon that whole thing that we all think of during like haunted houses. Like, how would you know if someone was murdered in a haunted house? Like, take example Hellfest, when that happened in the opening and everyone thinks it's a decoration.
That's such a good movie.
And people are playing along. Oh, top tier. So good. Wish there was a sequel. But that's kind of just what I feel like it would remind me of, is how do you know when someone is this real or are they pranking you? Because there is a very
right.
fine line, which is the point.
Right.
So
that's a lot of this book is like back and forth. Like, is this really happening or are we like still acting mm-hmm. or whatever? And so it doesn't count. They're not at school. This is not a back to school. I don't care. They're teenagers. And I want people to read this book because I want to talk about it. Because it gets
well done.
It gets so weird. It gets so weird. And I want to talk about it with more people because it's such a good time.
Well, then you read They Never Learn. I'll read You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight. And then
we'll have a chat.
It. We'll have a chat. I'll have to re-listen to They Never Learn because I read it when it came out. So I remember the ending, and that is it. That's nothing. All. So, you know, very on par, on theme for the podcast.
And that's it for me. Those are all the books that I could immediately think of this week when I was like, let's discuss some fun ones that I have read, and then at least one that I know I want to read. And it's mm-hmm. a good... There's only one... Well, I guess there are two fantasies, because technically Ninth House, and then I briefly mentioned The Atlas Six, but I just did not like the sequel to The Atlas Six at all.
I haven't read it yet. I know I have to reread The Atlas Six to begin with, because one, I felt like I was too dumb to understand Correct. What was going on Correct. At the time. Or like remember certain things. There's just a lot going on. It's a great book. Yeah. I had a lot of fun. I really like yes. Olivia Blake. I still think Masters of Death is the best thing ever, because it's kind of a book about nothing, and it's perfect, and everyone should read it. But yeah, I didn't read this.
I have yet, to go back so. And try again, because the premise of The Atlas Six is like a group of like recent graduates are chosen to kind of like compete for access to this secret society that works on these very high level projects. Some of them, and they all have some sort of supernatural gift. Like one's really good with plants, and one is good with like bending matter. I'm not smart at physics, magic physics. And one can like read minds and control your mind. So they all have kind of different supernatural abilities, and they're all kind of brought together to compete for, it's not really a scholarship, but like induction into this society. And one person doesn't make it, I think is the premise.
I think the secret society though, isn't it, if like in this world, the book, like the Library of Alexandria never burned down, but the world thinks it burned down. So they're guarding.
Yeah. It's
in some way, like they're going to be the keepers.
It's something like that.
Something. Either way, no, premise amazing, and the art in the book, she does a really cool job of just having fun artwork at the beginning.
I listened
of each chapter,
to it,
which
so
is
I
really
missed
fun.
Out on that.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, she did do that, and a lot of her books do it. But yeah, I'll have to reread that one, because don't remember much and did want to finish the trilogy, because I think it's, I don't remember if there's going to be a fourth one, but it's
yeah,
for sure
I think
a trilogy.
Three are out now. I gotta try that mm-hmm. again.
Add it to our list.
The forever growing TBR. One day I will be crushed by the weight. Yeah, my TBR. House is just gonna explode because I keep purchasing books and I never get rid of them. Everywhere. I just keep adding to the stacks. I'm already rebuilding ye old book wall.
I miss the book wall. Yay! 2020 was
a time. So I am currently in the process of rebuilding. I just moved in with Ray, my boyfriend, and I am like in the process of filling the little loft where most of my apartment just like bink notched into this little loft room. And I am in the process of like legitimately building a full wall of books yet again.
That's just where we all are at in life, is trying to build a book wall and having to rebuild.
Yeah, just like instead of having a moat, I just have ding, 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 books.
You just have to climb over the books to reach Laura.
Yeah.
That's her ultimate goal. Book witch.
For real, though.
Well, follow along as we read, because next time we're going to be discussing The Eyes Are the Best Part. It will be a spoiler discussion. We're going to be talking about the plot. So before you listen, make sure you've read it. Highly recommend to read it. And stay tuned, because I don't know about you, but I thought this themed episode was fun. So we'll probably do more like it.
Absolutely.
In some vein. So you can follow us, the show, both of our Bookstagram accounts as well. Our handles are in the show notes below. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
See you soon.